It's certainly good to be here today. Appreciate the fact that you are here this morning to worship God. And as always, it's been a wonderful hour that we have had together on this fourth Sunday to sing songs of praise and basically emphasize that aspect of our worship to God. We're always thankful for that opportunity. I might just note by way of encouragement to the congregation that we have recently had some other singings outside of the worship assembly, just very similar to what Paul and Silas did in Acts chapter 16 as they were in stocks in the inner prison. It's a joyful thing to be able to do, and we have other opportunities upcoming to do the same, and I would like to encourage you, if you have an opportunity, to be a part of that, because it will certainly be something of benefit to you as well as others who are present for those opportunities. But what I want to do is spend just a few moments' time, because this is just a lesson with basically three very quick points from James chapter 1, to talk about what our responsibility is as we hear the preaching of the gospel. Now, I will stipulate at the very beginning of our time this morning that I have a great responsibility as one who fills a pulpit. And I think that every man who is at least worth his salt would feel the same sense of obligation and the daunting nature of sharing the gospel message, both with regard to its import as well as the importance of speaking truth, lest we lead someone astray. And so much time is normally spent in the proclamation of these truths and the preparation of these things. And again, any preacher that's worth his salt will not give short shrift to that need for preparation and the need for care as we share the gospel. The intent of any preaching is to save souls. We know that there can be this effort made both through evangelism, that is, proclaiming the gospel of Christ to individuals who are not aware of what that truth is, as well as, and it's still preaching, but maybe a form of edification, that reminding you, as the Apostle Paul did to his readers, things that you may already know, and just emphasizing the importance of these things and striving to maybe alter or change problems that may exist in the lives of some, or to simply to strengthen and to encourage and to edify as we share certain messages. So knowing that obligation that I have as a preacher, and in fact any preacher, any individual who would spend some time behind the pulpit or share the gospel message to anyone else, our teachers and our classes as they share these things with our children, all of these things, we recognize the importance of the one doing the delivery. So that kind of begs the question, what is your responsibility as one who hears the delivery? And so I'm including myself in this because I get to hear preaching and teaching occasionally as well, though not nearly as often as I would like to because of my job. But I do appreciate opportunities when the men speak, for example, to sit in the audience and listen to what they had to say and perhaps hear a take on a particular subject or a particular passage of Scripture that I myself had not thought of, was not familiar with, or simply a reminder of things that I already knew. So we understand the importance of that. But there are three points that can be made from the text of James 1 in verse 21 and 22 about our obligations in hearing the gospel of Christ. I'll read to you those two verses at this time, verse 21 and 22 of James 1. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So there are three points to be made, and you can see them up on the board. So we'll just very quickly make them and share our thoughts with you. The first thing is what you do before the sermon, and that is to lay aside all filthiness and the overflowing of wickedness, indicating the proper spirit that you have when you come to worship. It is very, very difficult if an individual is unrepentant, an individual is not willing to acknowledge his needs, to really touch the heart. It really is. And I see that not only in the efforts that I make, but efforts that have been made in earlier times by other individuals, even so much as recognizing this problem to those who heard Paul's preaching, or those who failed to heed what James had to say right here, or even those who failed to listen to what our Lord had to say. He indicated to those inhabitants of Jerusalem that he wanted to take them under his wing, but they were not willing to do so. And that unwillingness, it is as described in the parable of the sower as the unyielding ground, the wayside, and that is not able to touch the hearts. And so the devil comes and takes it away. And so the gospel, no matter who it is, no matter how eloquent, no matter how carefully prepared, no matter how powerful the message is not going to reach everyone. It's not going to reach the ones whose hearts are not right. And so there is, of course, that need as we receive with meekness the implanted word that we strive to remove the impurities of our life. He mentions it as filthiness and overflowing of wickedness. But in a general or broad term, there has to be that willing, submissive, penitent heart so that an individual, whatever it is that is said, if it's true, will be rightly applied. This is not merely a pastime. It's not merely a job that you have given me that I think, well, this is the way I make my living. And so I spend my week in preparation. We go through the process week after week after week without any real change being affected or happening in the hearts of any. It's a thing with purpose. It is an important thing. It is, and I've said this from time to time, and I don't know, no one has ever objected to me saying this, but preaching is the most important job you can have. And I think that everyone understands that. I've used this point from time to time, the old comedy show MASH, that there was a doctor who was saying, if I lose one, I lose their life. And the chaplain said, well, if I lose one, I lose the soul. And we don't deny the fact that the soul is more important even than our physical existence and physical welfare. The spiritual welfare is first. And what we're trying to do when we share the message is help individuals in that regard. So it's an important thing and something that you must approach with the right attitude. Now, the second thing that is mentioned here is what to do during the sermon. And that is to receive with meekness the implanted or engrafted word. What does that indicate? Well, again, it has to have a willing heart, but we've already pretty much addressed that. So just note this, that when we speak Scripture, we are speaking God's inspired will for us. All Scripture, as Paul said, is given by inspiration of God. That is, these are not the opinions of men. These are not the dictates of individuals who lived 2,000 years ago that are steeped in ignorance and that are either irrational or perhaps, as some feel, just no longer applicable to me in my life today. No, this is God's Word. And God's Word has as much merit as it is read 2,000 years after its delivery as it had the first time it was written down, the first time it was proclaimed, first time it was taught. And so the authority of Scripture must be accepted. And in the reception of that, recognizing that authority of Scripture, that it profits a man, that it equips a man for every good work, everything that he needs, that what these things are important. We recognize the importance of listening to a lecture in school. We think about what major we have chosen in college or how it is that we're going to pass a test in high school. And I recognize not everyone feels that way because they're not mature and they're not willing to recognize or are not recognizing just how important the messages are. But those who grasp that, they listen, they may record, they take notes, they do everything they can to ensure that they get what is intended because it is what is indeed needed. And then the third point found in verse 22 of the text, that once we have heard it, we do it. And that is the concept of application. We make applications. How many times I've seen individuals tell me that I've preached a good sermon and yet I see no change in their life. Maybe it might be on occasion I'm talking to you. Maybe not specifically, but you in general or someone who needs to hear it. And I'm hopeful that what I have to say will impact your heart, that you'll come to this epiphany that, hey, this applies to me and I need to make a change. But the point is that in the preaching of the gospel, the purpose of it is to elicit change. In fact, that's the reason why we do our invitation. There are some preachers now that don't do invitations at the end of every lesson. You may remember the men in the congregation, when we made this determination to have three services and a three-hour block, the service, the class, and I told you, I said, if I'm going to share a message in the first hour, that I feel that I need to offer an invitation so that if someone right then is touched by what I have to say, they don't have an hour to forget about it, or an hour to rationalize it away, or an hour to get cold feet about it. They will be compelled at that point in time to make a change in their life. And if such a thing comes, it may throw off our entire schedule for the day, but it's going to be worth stopping for just a few moments' time and making sure that that life is changed. So we offer invitations like this for that very purpose. What we say is not just an exercise. What we say is said intending to change the lives of the individuals to whom we speak. Anytime you as a speaker, you may not be a full-time preacher, you may just from time to time, one of those monthly opportunities, decide that you're going to make the effort, you're going to get up. Don't do it unless you want to do some good. Unless what you have to say you feel is something that can benefit someone, that can make a small change. Maybe not something that necessitates repentance, but something that helps your brethren, something that is needed. And if you're listening to what someone has to say, understand this. They're saying it because someone needs it, and that someone may be you. It may be a general lesson that needs to be applied by every single member of the congregation. It may be something that is directed specifically at you. But the point is, you listen to what is being said and you make the effort to do it. Because an individual who just hears it and then goes on, he's deceiving himself. Notice verse 23 and following. One who is a hearer but not a doer, it's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, he goes away, and immediately he forgets what manner of man that he is or he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of, now not the word now, a doer of the work. That is, one who makes application to the word and does what is needed to do, then that individual will be blessed in what he does. And so that's the obligation we all have when we hear the gospel preach. And I hope and pray that as we have delivered this message today, that there is something that has touched you, and if there is that need, that you will repent, that you will make it right today. If you need to obey the gospel, that you'll do it today. We'll stop everything. We'll rejoice with you if you decide to come forward right now. May have to start the class a little bit later, that's fine. May have to start the worship a little bit later. May have to truncate a little bit to get through these things, but we're going to do it because your soul and your eternal standing with God is what is important. And so we offer that invitation at this time to anyone who has a need. If that need is yours, would you come now while together we stand and while we sing the song selected?